Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Yes, we do. We want hope to flow from heaven to earth. And we especially pray today that you will be undeniably blessed here at the beginning of the new year, only in our second Sunday of the new year. We pray that this will be the best year of your life. We pray that Christ will be more real to you in this new year than he ever has been. And we pray that the rest of your days will be the best of your days. So we'll start out the broadcast giving a New Year's blessing. Receive that blessing in the name of Jesus. Today is Epiphany Sunday. And on Epiphany Sunday, on the traditional calendar of the Christian church, we really remember the Magi coming to Bethlehem's manger, or coming to Bethlehem, to the house in Bethlehem. There's many ways to think about it, and of course we were not there, so we don't know exactly how it happened. But we know that the scripture records this in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of those in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So, my friends, this is what we celebrate on Epiphany Sunday. We celebrate the arrival of the Gentile wise men, these men from the east. Now, first, Grayson, we know that Jesus was born King of the Jews, and we had the lowly shepherds who came to the manger at Christmas time, and they certainly represented lowly people and Jewish people. And then we have these wise men, the Magi, coming from the east, and they represented maybe affluent people, but also non-Jewish people. And so what we know from that, Grayson, on this Epiphany Sunday, is Jesus Christ was born to be both the King of the Jews, the Messiah to the Jews, and also to be the Savior of the whole world. And this is a beautiful day to celebrate Christmas. Even though you might think Christmas is over, actually, Christmas proper just sort of ending like last night. Because we have this song, The 12 Days of Christmas, I referred to it our last session. And the idea of the 12 Days of Christmas, in the traditional sense, December 25th was the first day of Christmas, and my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. That, of course, the true love is God the Father giving to us his Son, Jesus Christ. And all of these symbolisms in the 12 Days of Christmas represent something spiritual. But the 12 days continue 11 more days after December the 25th. So in actuality, just this week, Epiphany was starting to take heart. And we know that the 12 days of Christmas ended. Maybe it was more than just last night. It was in the last few days. I don't claim to be a traditional scholar on the calendar. But what I'm trying to say is this, that Christmas continues. And even if we're past Christmas proper or Christmas afterward, Christmas is still reality. And nothing has meaning apart from Christmas. And so we have this story, Grayson, of Jesus being born King of the Jews to be their Messiah and also to be Savior to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that is Savior of the world. When you think about that attached to this Epiphany Sunday, what things would you like to expound on?
Well, he came to be everybody's Savior of the world, no matter your class or no matter where you come from or no matter what you've done in your past. We know the Apostle Paul and all the things that he had done in his past, and he was one of the greatest New Testament prophets and evangelists, so to speak. So God can take whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, and as long as you surrender your life to him, he will come in and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, as the Bible says. We just have to ask him to come in, as we talked about last Sunday on the broadcast, that we just have to ask him into our lives and give him control of our lives, and he will be our Savior. He wants to be our Savior. We just have to allow him to take control of our lives. He came to be our Savior, and we shouldn't take that for granted.
Indeed, you are right, Grayson. Good words to live by and to have in our heart and mind during this new year time that we find ourselves in. Now, I want to ask a few questions and give a few answers. First of all, why did the wise men come to Bethlehem? Well, we can think of many reasons why they came, but they give us the reason. Right in chapter 2, if we were to read in verse 2, they ask, once they arrived in Jerusalem, "Where is this newborn King of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." My friend Steve and I, we have a nonprofit group. It's called Hearts Aflame, Discipleship Journeys. And we lead groups to the Holy Land. In March, we will be taking our 14th trip, I believe it is. And we have based much of our trip on the words that the wise men spoke, the reason why they really came to Jerusalem and then went on to Bethlehem, the real reason they were following this bright star. They said, "We came to worship." I love the Message paraphrase of that verse. The wise men said it this way: "We are on pilgrimage to worship him." And so Christmas is about worship, and so is Epiphany, and so is every other Sunday and every day of the calendar. We are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I said during my Christmas series in December past, I said, I want you to know that Christmas is an invitation to adoration. In other words, we should come and we should adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Now, that is sung from a heart of worship. I may not have the best tone in the world, and I may not be a professional singer, but I'm here to tell you that's not going to keep me from worshiping, because he is worthy of all my worship. And the wise men said it, and I believe it for my own life. So that's why Jesus came. Now, there's some other questions related to this passage. We won't answer them all. But we know that the king in Jerusalem, of little K, not capital K, the capital K king was in Bethlehem's manger, or in the house maybe by now, as the wise men came. But either way, he was in Bethlehem, and the little king, the little king with a lowercase K, he was in Jerusalem. His name was Herod. And we know that he was not wanting to worship King Jesus. He was a liar. He told the wise men, "Go and find him, and when you find him, bring word back to me so I can also worship him." Well, the wise men were wise, and they knew that this man would not come worship King Jesus. So when they left Bethlehem, they went a different route. They didn't even go back through Jerusalem. They just continued on their journey. And they talked with Joseph, and I'm sure that they were saying, you know, you might want to be careful of this King Herod. But then Joseph had a dream, and shortly after the wise men left, Mary and Joseph and the baby, the Holy Family, they're headed to Egypt to get away from this king who is not going to worship, but is going to try to kill the Savior of the world, the Messiah of the Jews. I mean, what kind of a nut was he? I mean, here God has sent his son to save even King Herod, but he wants to kill the Savior. But you know what? God the Father had protection on his son. He withdrew that protection at the cross because it was time for him to die. But until then, he kept him safe because Jesus had a purpose and a mission. And it was to receive our worship, but it was also to become our Savior. He was the sacrifice. He was born in Bethlehem to die outside Jerusalem. And this is our Jesus. So Grayson, when you think about worship and the wise men, and you think about Herod and what he was up to, what kind of thoughts enter your mind?
Well, I think worship has to do with our heart, our motive, and certainly Herod had not the right motive. He acted like he cared about Jesus being born and like he wanted to worship him, but the Magi, as they started to come back, they realized that Herod didn't have the motive that he said he had, and the wise men did have the true motive, and they did worship him, and we should want to worship him like the Magi worshiped him and like the shepherds worshiped him, and not pretend to want to worship him like Herod pretended like he wanted to go worship him. So I think when you talk about worship, it has to deal with our heart. It's not necessarily look like the same thing for everybody. Everybody can worship him differently, just the way he speaks to you or whatever way you can best speak to God, whether it be quiet time with him, listening to Christian music, singing, just whatever is worship to you. I think God can use different things as forms of worship in our lives as long as we're doing it with the right motive.
Yes, good counsel, Grayson, good thoughts. I love over in verse 10 of Matthew 2, it says, when they, the Magi, the three wise men or the wise men, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Now this proves that they really did come to worship. They didn't just come out of curiosity. They came out of adoration. I love that idea. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshiped him. You see, they proclaimed in Jerusalem, we are on pilgrimage to worship him. And when they showed up in Bethlehem at the house where Jesus was, it says that they fell down before him and worshiped him, their hearts overflowing with joy because they saw the star again and it pointed directly. I believe a shaft of light was just pointing right down into where Jesus was lying. And then they opened their treasure chest. Now, they're not just coming to worship with their mouths. They're bringing gifts. They realize that this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the whole world. And they opened their treasure chest. These affluent men. And they gave him gifts. First of all, they gave him gold. Now, the reason they gave him gold was that they wanted to say with their gift, you are a king. You are worthy of gold. And so they opened up one of the gifts, and it was gold. And then they opened up frankincense. And frankincense was used by priests in the temple. And so what they were saying is, not only are you the King of Kings worthy of gold, but you are the great high priest worthy of frankincense. And he was indeed the great high priest, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And when he died on the cross outside of Jerusalem, his arms were stretched out, one hand to God, one hand to us, and he brought us together. That's what a great high priest does. He joins us back to God, and he certainly deserved the frankincense. And then also, of course, the one gift was myrrh. And myrrh was this spice that was used in death. And this pointed toward how Jesus would suffer to be the Savior of the world. And so these wise men were truly wise. Not only did they follow the star and find him exactly where he was born, but they also came bearing gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, because he's King Jesus, he's High Priest Jesus, he is Savior Jesus, he is King. And this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. And this, my friends, is Epiphany. Now today I want to say that we hope that worship is a part of your life. That you don't just talk about worship or think about worship, but as Grayson said, you be led into worship very practically. And we pray that on this Epiphany Sunday, that worship of King Jesus will be truly what you're found doing, what we're found doing, because he is worthy to be worshiped by humble shepherds. He's worthy to be worshiped by wise men who are affluent. He's also worthy to be worshiped by the heavenly host. And today we hope in this afterglow of Christmas proper, where we have come to the end of the 12 days of Christmas, we've made our way to Epiphany Sunday. Our prayer is that this new year will be characterized by worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let it be said as we go into this new year, we are on pilgrimage to worship him. Today we're going to end with some worship songs. I think that to end this broadcast today with an opportunity for us to actually engage worship will be the best way for us to move into this year 2017. So to God be the glory. Listen now as the songs come. Grayson will introduce those. But my prayer is at the conclusion of this half-hour broadcast, when the music has hit its final note, you will be able to say with all your heart, today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has indeed been a half hour of hope for my life. God bless. He's been into the future, and now he will safely lead us there. Amen and amen.
The three songs that I have for you today are Nikki Clark singing For the Glory of Your Name, Brian Arner singing Here I Am to Worship, and Jessica Crawford singing Holy God.
Let them light of the world, you step down into darkness, opened my eyes and made me see beauty that made this heart adore you, the hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake became.
Say holy, are you Lord?
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.